Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Monsignor Pavanka, pastor at St. Elizabeth of Hungary Catholic Church. How are you, Monsignor?
I'm doing just fine.
It's a pleasure to have you here. You're one of the very few pastors that I've had, so I'm excited to hear what St. Elizabeth has to offer us. Let's go ahead and get started. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay, yeah, let me share a little bit about myself personally. I was ordained in 1977, and I come from a family with four brothers and one sister. And since my ordination, I have served in various positions. My first parish was St. Philip the Apostle, and also I've worked in the tribunal as the vicar judicial. I served at cathedral as rector for a few years, and then one time, full-time tribunal office, and now since the year 2000, I've been at St. Elizabeth of Hungary Parish.
So about 13 years now.
About 13 years, right. One thing about St. Elizabeth, it's had a school for many, many years. I think since 1940, either 47, 48, there's been a school there and supported by the community, by the people of the parish, and we're doing very well still over all these years. It's a really important part of our parish life is our school.
What grades does the school go through?
Now we go K 3 through 6th grade. At one point in history, we actually went up to 8th grade.
Okay.
So it's kind of fluctuated. Went down to 4th grade. Then now we've added the K 3, K 4, and K 5, and then 5th and 6th. So now we're K 3 through 6th. So yeah, we're about 180 or so students, you know, it's exciting, keeps them busy. You know, it adds a nice little dimension to my priestly ministry because, you know, you have mass with the kids once a week, and then I do religious classes for the kids on a weekly basis, you know, so it's been enjoyable. I've really enjoyed it, getting to know the kids.
And seeing them grow up.
Seeing them grow up, yes.
Yeah, being a part of their families.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's really important. So that's a little bit about the parish. And we've also been lately involved in property improvements. So we're putting some metal roofs on our buildings, which is always a challenge, you know. So.
Well, you know, Labors of Love is all about highlighting the different labors of love that are occurring either in apostolates or mm-hmm. particularly parishes and schools. And so I'm really excited to hear what St. Elizabeth has to offer. So let's talk about the exciting things that are happening at St. Elizabeth. So you have your school, about 180 students. As a matter of fact, you and I are on the school board with the Diocese of Corpus Christi in an effort to improve Catholic education in the diocese. So that was very exciting. But go ahead and share with me the exciting things happening at St. Elizabeth.
Well, you know, with our school, for example, we have a dedicated principal staff and teachers that make it all possible. There's something about our staff there at St. Elizabeth that everybody remarks on about the way the kids are formed. You know, like, for example, one fruit of a real good effect of coming to our school is these little kids, you know, they come to our school from a little tiny, from K-3, K-4, whatever, and they're trained on behavior. They're trained on deportment. They're trained on just how to interrelate with others,
social
how to communicate,
skills.
Social skills, to the point that, you know, like, let's say first, second, third graders, sometimes as even as K-5, will get up at a mass and announce a second collection for the school, and they do not have any fear of it. I mean, they're just... I think to myself, my gosh, when I was that old, I was terrified. So these kids are trained to have maybe the confidence, the kind of interpersonal social skills of communication. I think it's wonderful. Plus, you know, we're looking at, they're looking for their spiritual formation.
Well, I was going to ask you, Monsignor, why is there a difference between secular and private schools, and what do Catholic schools have to offer? Let's highlight that.
You know, that's a good question, because when I first went to St. Elizabeth, I had not been pastor of a school at that point until St. Elizabeth, and it was a tremendous learning experience for me to be able to learn how a pastor, you know, works with the school and the parish and all the dimensions of that. And what I've realized over the course of time, there's been a lot of growth on my part about learning about Catholic schools and learning how best to guide them. But it's amazing. I see the effect in the kids that go through the Catholic school. You just can't. It's amazing how the formation affects the children. You can always tell a young person that's been to a Catholic school, especially the elementary years, their character formation, their spirituality, deportment, manners. There are so many dimensions to Catholic education. Like I always tell people, in the Catholic school, we're looking at the total education of the person, not just mm-hmm. intellectual, not just social, mm-hmm. And not just physical, but spiritual, moral, emotional, all aspects of being a good citizen on earth and then a part of God's kingdom heading toward heaven, you know. So we're looking at everything.
The whole person.
The
so
whole
person. Like you said, not just strengthening them in science or math or academics. And I'm just thinking of all the test taking that occurs with that, which is essential. But you're also looking at grounding them morally, which is really big today.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, I always tell the kids, you know, our journey on earth is we're headed to heaven, and we're forming you with understanding of what that means, that we're on this journey, and God has given each of them gifts, and they have to discover their gifts and find out what their mission is, mm-hmm. find out what their vocation is, you know, because mm-hmm. as you get older, they'll learn what God is asking them to do, and they'll be equipped with all this Catholic background and formation. They'll be equipped, I think, to face the future with faith and with hope, you know, and with hopefully charity too, you know, to be able to share their lives with others and affect and improve our society.
You know, I am a product of public schooling. I was able to attend Catholic school in my college years.
Oh, good.
But I noticed the difference in visiting the my sibling schools. We have a 20-year difference, and so I have some younger siblings that were in elementary recently but are in middle school and high school. And there is a huge difference.
There is. It's hard to put your finger on it, but, you know, and plus, you know, the parents, I'm sure I always tell parents that we're grateful for the sacrifices they make when they put their kids in the school.
Oh, some work three jobs and part of it's to send their child to Catholic schooling.
Yeah. And, you know, God's going to reward them for those sacrifices and for that formation. And on our part, I do my best to expose the kids to Catholic faith, to the Bible. You know, throughout the whole year, I try to get in different Bible stories that the kids hear about Old Testament, New Testament, and the reason for the stories. What do they teach us? Just a whole dynamic of the liturgical calendar. What do the days mean? The life of Jesus. There's a whole lot that we cover in religion class as well.
So then, the school is a major part of your ministry.
That is,
there.
And there's also another. Well, the parish has. We want to expand our parish hall. Right now, our hope is to enlarge our hall. That's one thing we really need, because when we have funerals and things like this or gatherings, our hall is a little bit small.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to increase the size so we could have a larger group of people meet there and for different kind of things like funeral luncheons and things like that, but and meetings as well. So that's part of our plans for the near future, and our major parish activity is like a parish picnic where everybody comes together, we raise funds
mm-hmm.
every year. It occurs in November. This year it's going to be the first weekend and the first Sunday in November. But we raise funds to expand our parish hall. We're trying to raise funds for that.
Well, that's a major undertaking.
And we do barbecue. We sell barbecue plates. That's what our major thing is, and barbecue with all the trimmings. And we cook our barbecue in a large stainless steel barbecue pit.
Well, it sounds tasty.
Which we purchased that holds 3,000 pounds of meat. So It's the biggest barbecue pit, I think, in Texas.
Well, let me ask you, why is it so important to have adequate facilities for worship, for education?
I've always felt that if your facility looks nice, clean, and attractive, it affects how you feel within it. If your church is not nice and clean and, you know, well-painted or just really nice-looking, not that it has to be luxurious, but, you know, just really, really attractive, both outside and inside, it does affect, I think, the human
spirit.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I have to say that right now, both on the parish and school level, we're trying our best to really make things look attractive, and then of course we're dedicated to the spirituality too. I mean, you got to have both. It's everything together, you know, you want to work at it.
Well, there's studies that show particular colors will enhance students' learning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a room that's dark maroon. Well, that's going to be different from a room that's light blue, let's say. But you're right, the environment does do something to the spirit and the mind, and it either will enhance or decrease the opportunities for learning and worship.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And we also have to be up to date with all the electronics. We have to cope with all the new systems, the Wi-Fi, all the things that are computers. We're trying to keep abreast of all developments, so you know that we can provide the kids with all the skills they'll need. Even you know, I know now we use iPads and stuff in our school and all kinds of notebooks, like computer notebooks and things.
And I do appreciate that. There was a time when I was a director of religious education and I had no email access nor internet access, so that was challenging. We're going to take a quick break. Okay. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
A Marian pilgrimage is coming in October, and you can be a part of it. You'll visit the Marian shrines of Fatima, Lourdes, and Spain. You'll spend time in Madrid, Burgos, San Sebastian, Avila, Zaragoza, Toledo, Salamanca, and more. Spiritual director for the trip will be Father Gabriel Coelho. You'll depart Corpus Christi on October 29th and return November 7th. For complete details, call Corpus Christi Cathedral Office at 883-4213.
Welcome to Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest, Monsignor Pavanka, pastor at St. Elizabeth of Hungary. Before our break, we spoke about how great your school is doing, physical improvements in the parish. And now I want to speak about something that I think is very exciting to you, and that is cenacles. What is a cenacle, Monsignor?
Yeah, before I give a definition, let me just say this, that my ministry with cenacles actually began at St. Philip's. And then when I went to the cathedral, we did cenacles there too. And then when I was serving the tribunal office full time, I still did cenacles in that when I was in that ministry. And when I came to St. Elizabeth, I began cenacles there. And for a while there, I had kind of stopped them for a while, but I restarted them just recently, like this past May. And I feel a real strong spiritual call to have these cenacles. Let me explain what they are.
Okay.
Okay, a cenacle basically is rooted in the biblical experience in the New Testament when our Lord, before he ascended into heaven, he told the apostles, he said, go back to Jerusalem and pray for the coming of the Advocate, which the Holy Spirit, of course, is the Advocate. So, you know, the Lord ascended into heaven, the apostles were still quite afraid of everything, and they went back to Jerusalem, and in that upper room where they had the Last Supper, according to tradition, they were there with the 12 apostles, with the Blessed Mother, and some other disciples to pray. And according to the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 2, I think it is, they prayed like for 9 full days, and then on the 10th day, the Spirit came. So here you have this cenacle, Mary with the apostles and disciples praying together, asking God to send the Spirit, and the Spirit comes. Okay.
So does that mean like group of people gathering?
Yes, it's
okay.
A group of people gathering, mm-hmm, at the request of Jesus. Okay, now, the modern-day cenacle is kind of related to Fatima. Now, let me explain. Fatima, as you know, is an awesome experience of the three children with apparitions of Mary, approved by the church. Mm-hmm. Don't want to go into all detail, but part of the the Fatima experience was the miracle on October 13, 1917, where 70,000 people witnessed the sun dance in the sky for 12 minutes. The sun was spinning, emitting all kind of colors. And then toward the end of this experience, the sun started coming toward the earth, and everybody thought the world was going to end. And there were people screaming and all kind of things. People did take pictures of this, so in the Portugal newspapers of those days, you can still see, for those photographers that were there, you can see what happened that day.
Well, I didn't know there was pictures, but
yeah,
I'm going to go look that up. And yeah, even in you re-describing the miracle to me, I'm getting goosebumps. It's just so beautiful.
So this miracle happened, and it's like, whoa, 70,000 people saw the sun dance. That's probably the most marvelous miracle God ever did.
70,000.
For so many people to see something so awesome. So, and of course, there was a message of Fatima, which was conversion, basically Jesus' message, conversion, prayer, sacrifice. Our Blessed Mother told the children that God is offended by so many sins in the world. People need to convert, et cetera, et cetera. So, now, coming up to modern times, and I just want to mention one of the dynamic that explains why Mary wants us to pray centicles, is that she foretold, this may be more a message from Pope Leo XIII, where there would be this struggle. The devil would be given a lot of power by God to try to destroy the church, and like 100 years. And so because of this, Pope Leo started that prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, you know, and then Fatima happened, and Mary was calling the children to consecrate themselves to her Immaculate Heart, to pray the rosary. So all this, as time went on, you know, we can see that in 1960 especially, a lot of things began to happen, both good things and challenging things. Good things was Vatican II.
Yes.
All the teachings and wonderful graces given the world, given to the church.
Which this year of faith has been focusing on.
Yes, and a proper interpretation of Vatican II. The bad things was kind of beginning of a series of immoral kind of ways of thinking and acting. So the world has really, because of that, we might say, become more secularized. So when Father Gobi, he's the priest that received these messages from Mary, when he visited Fatima in 1972, he was asked to call priests together to pray the rosary and to pray for the Spirit to come. The church needs to be renewed by the Spirit. You know, the church already exists. It's already very much alive, but it needs to be renewed because there was a prophecy that when you make the consecration to Mary, we realize that kind of darkness has entered into the church. Some members have not kept their vows and all this. Maybe betrayed.
And with all organizations, there's those times where
the internal problems.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, we gather in Senegal. The idea is with Mary, because she asked Father Gobi to have priests and laity come together. We do it on a weekly basis.
I like that.
Come together on a weekly basis. We pray the rosary, make a consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then these series of messages that Father Gobi received, they've been approved by the Vatican. They've looked at the messages. There's nothing wrong with these messages. They're in harmony with the magisterium. You read a message and you kind of reflect on a teaching of the church or how God wants our faith to be strong and not to, you know, not to be led astray and things like this. So it's a way of asking for the Spirit to come, praying with Mary for the Spirit to renew the church, and also keeping your faith strong, and then praying for everyone.
So then with these cenacles, the laity and the pastor get together, and the focus is prayer.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're praying for conversion, you're praying for the strengthening of...
Well, we're praying for the fulfillment of Fatima. Mary said,
okay.
In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. We're praying for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Okay.
Now, what does that mean? God knows. I think it means a lot of good things. It means that it will bring about a tremendous triumph of goodness in the world through Mary. Obviously, the source of it is Jesus. He's the source of it. But Jesus wants to honor his mother. I mean, he really wants his mother to be seen as how would I put it? Her role in salvation history will be duly recognized with this triumph.
Well, the Theotokos, the God-bearer.
Yes,
she is our God-bearer. And what a wonderful relationship Jesus and Mary have.
Absolutely.
She's always pointing to him, and he's pointing to her.
Absolutely.
And so,
it's an awesome dynamic. And, you know, when you develop a love for Mary, you automatically are led to Jesus. I mean, you can't love Mary without loving Jesus in any authentic sense of Marian devotion. Mm-hmm. If your devotion to Mary doesn't lead you to Jesus, your devotion is not authentic. Authentic Marian devotion leads you to this awesome relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, their love for Jesus leads you to really see Mary as your mother, and what a wonderful model we have for Christian discipleship in Mary.
So let me ask you, what do you see in terms of change with the people that attend the cenacles? What is your goal in having them? Of course, the fulfillment of Fatima, but what else would you say?
I would say what we're expecting is just also a renewal of faith that bring people closer together, more active, more alive in their faith. We're also praying for that. People also facing problems in their lives. And I tell them, you come to the cenacle, and Blessed Mother is always there, and she'll lead you to some the steps of healing, to get healing for yourself. A lot of people today are wounded. A lot of people have different problems they're facing, struggles. I think we all need to be healed. And I think a cenacle does a lot about bringing personal healing to people, as well as getting them excited about their faith and becoming more an animated Catholic.
Well, that's right. When people get together in community, as Jesus says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. And so there's growth.
Right.
Now, I'm reading about Father Gobi, and you spoke about locutions. Briefly, what is a locution again?
Basically, a message which Father Gobi in his heart heard from Mary, much like Bridget of Sweden would receive these, or St. Catherine of Siena would receive these messages from heaven. It's pretty much the same thing, and he would write them down. And, of course, he would submit them to a spiritual director and all that. Uh-huh.
And I'm going to read one from May 13th, 1996. Okay. My Immaculate Heart, above all in these times, becomes the sure road which leads you to a reciprocal communion, to an understanding, to a rejection of egoism and every kind of division, so that the new commandment which my Son Jesus has given you might at last become a reality. Love one another as I have loved you. Monsignor Pavanka, can you please end us with prayer?
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for all the good you do for us every day. We thank you for sending us Jesus, for sending us your Spirit to guide us. We thank you for creating Mary and making her the mother of your Son, Mother of God. May Mary's prayer join with ours. May we learn from Mary how to live in your life and your Spirit. May we learn from Mary how to love Jesus, your Son. And Father, we ask your blessing upon all of our radio audience. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Everything we do in life revolves around relationships. Whether we are in the business world, experiencing life in a family, or living as a single person in the midst of society, we cannot avoid having relationships with other people. Even strangers waiting in a checkout line at a store form relationships with those around them. Relationships sometimes last a few moments, other times for an entire lifetime. However it comes about, a relationship requires an exchange of persons, a sharing of ideas and feelings. To do that requires communication, which, as we know, usually means talking and listening. We all know someone who has the gift of gab, which is the ability to carry on a conversation with anyone, anywhere, on almost any topic. What is striking about these people isn't their ability to talk, or to draw someone into conversation. Rather, it's their ability to listen. Listening is what allows them to know what question will keep the conversation moving. They are usually the people most likely to be able to break an awkward silence with a well-thought question or a response, and it is almost always at just the right time. An awkward silence in the midst of conversation is most often that moment when the conversation is in doubt, when something has been said and neither party knows how or whether to respond. It is one of those difficult moments we face from time to time. For some it can be overwhelming, so we just say whatever comes to mind without considering whether it has any relevance at all. Quite often people talk to fill the silences in life because they are uncomfortable being alone with themselves. How sad indeed. In the Gospels, Jesus always invited people to enter into a relationship with him. When he called the disciples, he simply said, "Come and see." The closer they grew in friendship with him, the more he revealed to them his relationship with the Father, a relationship sustained by prayer. This is the relationship he longs to have with each one of us. But prayer can be hard. We talk, and God doesn't answer, or so we believe. Following the examples of Jesus and many of the greatest saints who have ever lived, we might find from time to time that the only form our prayer can take must be silence. We know it's necessary because a relationship can't be one-sided. Without the sharing of both persons, it will fail. And so we know that we can't do all of the talking. Therefore, it is necessary and right that we learn to embrace silence as a gift. It is right and good that we learn to embrace silence in order to listen. And most importantly, it is good that we learn to embrace God's friendship in the silences of our life. Only then will we know how to act, what to say, and how to keep the conversation going so that the relationship grows stronger. Jesus, talking about houses built on rocks and sand, said, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man, and everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool." When you find yourself facing an awkward silence, listen for the words of God embedded there, just for you. May your sacred moments guide you to discover the beautiful gift of God's presence in the silences of your life, and may those silences and all of your life be filled with prayer. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Monsignor Pavanka of St. Elizabeth of Hungary. If you would like more information about participating in your parish activities, please contact your parish office. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.